Court will proceed to the fifth case. Cameco Mutual Insurance Company versus Citizens Bank. Mr. Tim.
Good morning, Your Honors. I thought I would present the case a little differently than has been presented in the briefs and respond directly to the assertion by the accountants that the result here turns on the presence of the word damages in the key phrase of the tolling agreement. That is, that they contend that the agreement said, well, the agreement does say that the parties agree that statute of limitations, defenses and other defenses are tolled. And they say that that doesn't, therefore, toll the running of the statute. Well, first of all, the accountants agree that toll means stopped. They say that repeatedly. For example, on page 9, they say the parties have never disagreed that toll means stopped or suspend. On page 16, they say the parties intended to toll the time in which the CPAs could assert time-based defenses. What is critical and what the accountants ignore is what happens after, quote, the time in which the CPAs could assert time-based defenses. If you stop a defense, you freeze it. It was frozen as of May 1, 2003. The agreement was in effect through December 31, 2005, and throughout that time, the defense was stopped or frozen. On the next day, January 1st, 2006, it was unfrozen, but you don't ignore the 32 months that had passed. You have those, you start as though it were May 2nd, 2003. The defense then goes forward from there, and it doesn't bar the claim until 23 months and 29 days later.
Counsel, I gather the tolling agreement was made retroactive.
That one day, I think, yes. It was signed on May 2nd, and it was retroactive to May 1st.
Well, I have something that was signed dated May 19th by Robert S. Powell, president of Citizens Bank.
I think the execution took some time to get the documents.
Should we take anything by the fact that it's made retroactive rather than
I think that makes no difference whatsoever, Your Honor.
I mean, it gives a little different.
Even if it started on May 19th, it still makes no difference. It froze the defense as of May 19. It remained frozen through December 31st, 05. And then January 1st, 06 would be May 20th, 03.
Also, there
still
was,
have 23 plus months.
Also, there was a 60-day notice of termination. Should we take anything by that?
I think not, Your Honor. I mean, that was.
Why do you need a notice, 60-day notice, though?
If you wanted to give notice, the parties agreed on it. Why they agreed on it, who knows?
Yeah, I know they agreed on it, but that's what we have to figure out. What was the consideration for the tolling agreement?
Consideration for the tolling agreement was not to file a lawsuit in 2003 and allow the bank to pursue other claims, which they did in fact pursue, and got $4,300,000 in round numbers, which reduced the potential liability of the accountants by $4,300,000 in round numbers. If they'd gotten the full $11 million from the other potential the other pots of money, then there would have been no claim against the accountants. The accountants had every incentive to encourage the bank to go against somebody other than them. So it makes no difference that defense is in the operative language. If you freeze a defense, you can't ignore or just bypass the 32 months that pass until you unfreeze it. You have to go back to when you froze it. And if you do, the claims were timely filed, the district court's decision is clearly erroneous, and it should and must be reversed.
Thank you, Mr. Tim. Mr. Elder.
May it please the court, Don Elder on behalf of Appalese, Terrence Navarro, Lawrence Olisco, Navarro, Olisco, and O'Connell, LLC. Despite agreeing that the tolling agreement's language was unambiguous, the bank asked this court to interpret the tolling agreement by reading the single word toll in isolation. Indeed, what the bank would have this court do is to ignore all language in the agreement, accept the word toll, and ascribe a meaning to that word that contravenes the plain language of the agreement. The proposition is unsupported in the bank's moving papers and in the briefs before this court, and frankly, the position advocated is in contravention to established Seventh Circuit jurisprudence. That's the Bork case, the Heller financial decision, also the Beanstalk Group case, which is all cited in the bank's papers. The case dispositive issue here is what was told by the tolling agreement. What was told here, Your Honor, was the CPA's ability to assert time-based defenses. That's it. In failing to toll the statute of limitations, which incidentally doesn't appear anywhere in this agreement, the bank's filing deadline was linked to the termination date of the tolling agreement. The termination date was December 31st, 2005. The bank filed its claims more than 2.5 weeks later. The bank's claims are time barred. Now, it's important to consider the context here, Your Honor. These are two sophisticated commercial entities who entered into an arm's length negotiation and ultimately a tolling agreement. Moreover, the bank admitted all facts in support of our motion for summary judgment in the underlying case, before the district court, and has consistently taken the position before the district court and this court that the language is unambiguous. That left the district court with one alternative: to interpret the unambiguous language of the agreement. Again, nowhere in that agreement does it say that the statute of limitations will be told. The district court found that the bank's claims were time-barred. The district court's opinion should be affirmed. Now, the bank talks in terms of stopping of a defense or the freezing of a defense, and he's correct. The only language discussed in the tolling agreement is the ability of the CPAs to assert a defense. What I think the bank misconstrues is that there's a difference between a defense and a statute of limitations. A statute of limitations is a legislatively mandated time period in which to file a claim. A defense is just that. A defense defeats a claim. So if you were to toll a statute of limitations, to also toll a defense would be a belt and suspenders approach. But conversely, tolling merely a defense doesn't toll an applicable filing deadline.
Elder, did you ever find a case where the expression or a contract had told the defense? Don't we normally talk about waiving defenses? I'm not familiar with tolling a defense.
Well, Your Honor, the cases that we have cited, the GM Harston case, also the OMC case, which is a bankruptcy decision, also had that language in it. I don't know if they actually used the word toll, but there was a suspension of the defenses in both of those cases. Both of them, specifically the Harston decision, talks in terms of the distinctions between the two, the separate nature. Now, very briefly, Your Honor, the bank talks in terms or offers several indicia, if you will, of the party's intent. And I think it bears repeating that the bank has never taken a position that there's an ambiguity in the contract here. Most specifically, what they talk in terms of is the April 30th, 2003 letter by Dennis Haffey as a clear indication of the party's intent to enter into an agreement which would toll the statute of limitations. That letter, Your Honor, was nothing more than a notice of claim. It didn't memorialize any of the agreed language between the parties. It didn't even attach a copy of the tolling agreement. The bank in its papers talks in terms of that letter evidencing a clear intent of the parties, but it's unfathomable how that could represent a clear intention of the parties when that language never worked its way into the agreement. As Judge Connie indicated, this, and as the bank conceded, there was quite some time that went into the discussion and negotiation of this contract, Your Honor. There is a suggestion in the bank's papers that the effective date of the agreement being one day after the Haffey letter has some bearing, or that the tolling agreement was signed, sealed, and delivered one day after the letter. Well, that simply wasn't the case. As Judge Connie points out, there was almost 3 weeks before Roger Powell signed the agreement. So these parties negotiated this language. There's also a discussion in the bank's papers about the waiver versus tolling issue. Frankly, I think that's a red herring, Your Honor. I don't think the district court didn't latch on to that at all. She didn't even discuss it, Judge Conlon. And nowhere, and for good reason. I mean, waiver is a permanent relinquishment of a right. I think the plain language in paragraph 3 of the tolling agreement talks in terms of the temporary tolling or suspension of the defenses by the CPAs. I'd like to make a comment on the 60-day provision that Judge Connie pointed out. I would ask.
It won't affect the outcome of this case, but the pronunciation is Kane.
Oh, excuse me. It's Kane.
I have to say, though, he pronounces it in a German fashion, which is correct.
Well, all right. If you prefer that today, we'll go with that.
I would ask, if in fact it wasn't the intention of the parties, why agree to a 60-day termination date? Now, the bank talks in terms in its brief of this, they have this absurdity position. But to accept that, you have to accept the bank didn't get any benefit out of this. At the outset of this tolling agreement, there wasn't a termination date. So the bank got all the benefit they wanted. It could have gone on for years. It didn't, as is pointed out in the papers. The parties agreed to terminate the agreement as of December 31st, within which time the functional filing extension, the bank settled its fidelity claim with Gulf Insurance Company to the tune of $4.3 million. But I ask this court, if in fact the bank's position is correct, that to toll a defense essentially means to toll a statute of limitations, and their position that upon the termination of this agreement, that they had an additional 2 years to file their claim, why enter into that 60-day notice provision? I think it's clear that the parties knew what they were doing. This wasn't an exercise in sloppy draftsmanship. Again, these are commercial parties. The bank asked this court to interpret the term toll in a vacuum, and I respectfully request that it be rejected and the district court's opinion be affirmed. I'll answer any other questions Your Honors may have.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Kim? Tim?
Again, very briefly, the argument you just heard never responds to the key point of if you stop a defense, what does it mean? It doesn't mean that you simply ignore the existence of the agreement for the 32 months that it was in effect. It can't mean that, because if it meant that, isn't what stopped means. That's not what the plain meaning of the language that the parties used. You have to stop something, toll it, hold it in abeyance. And that's what happened here. The defense was held in abeyance for 32 months. The bank had 23 months plus when the agreement expired in which to file a lawsuit. It filed it in 17 days. It had 22 months and some days before the statute ran. And we would ask that the district court be reversed, in this case be remanded for a decision for adjudication on the merits. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Tim. Thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement.